Hosea 13. Do all of you know who Ephraim is?
I know.
Ephraim?
I know
what
it is.
He's like
a
Joe King.
Ephraim is the mystery child of Jacob. So his inheritance is split because he was Joseph. Joseph became split and had Ephraim and Manasseh as the two that became inheritors of the land. But spiritually, Ephraim is this concept of the salvation of the isolated self, always throughout the scripture. The wine of Ephraim, in Isaiah 28, is the wine of self-seeking. Being drunk with wine instead is the being drunk with this wine of self-seeking. That's why God doesn't mind you drinking a glass of wine. God minds you getting drunk. Because in drunkenness, there is only self-seeking possible, because the Son of Man in you takes over and you become the beast. And it doesn't matter whether you're drunk on physical wine or liquor, or drunk on the issue of this great feeling of self-seeking. Now, this is about Ephraim that we're going to study. When Ephraim spake trembling, he spake trembling. But he was in truth exalting himself in Israel. You understand? Exodus, Hosea 13, verse 1. When Ephraim spake trembling being he was sincere, he was humble, he was saying, oh, it's just me. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. Now that process, if you speak trembling in Israel and see it as something of value, the next process is that you will offend in Baal and you will die. That's why I cannot stand your sincerity. Of course, none of you know that. Because your sincerity is Ephraim trembling in Israel. You understand me? And you will be deceived at every juncture. Ephraim was ever and always deceived. Now you have a choice. You can remain in deception and pout, like Harry does all the time. Or you can turn from self. And it is not, as we know it, a decision of will, but it is a decision of temperance. Temperance meaning that you have that arena of your life you've laid hands on and you have control over it. Temperance means, the word temperance means to have everything under, that you're not in the control of anything.
By dominion over.
Yeah. Well, that's what the word means. That's why it's a gift of the Spirit. It can't be faked. The reason it can't be faked, because the instant somebody comes at you, blindsides you, you will blow up, and anger is the... So anger, hurt, all of those nice, sincere things of Ephraim are only the indicator that you're speaking and you're trembling in Israel, but you're Ephraim. You got it? Now, God has been very gracious up till this time.
I've always thought that was a desired place.
It is. You've found out 1,000 times it's not a desired place.
But still, sincerity?
Well, no.
Trembling in Israel.
Being trembling, you know, and coming in, it's far different than it being in boldness.
Yeah.
And there's a whole, I mean, there's something in here that...
If I do it this way, then I'll be heard and accepted and understood.
And, yeah, I don't know, I can't make that jump between this trembling and then having, you know, having dominion over it.
And then a child but there's,
But either way, the point is that you may not think you have, but up to this point you've gotten by with trembling humbly in Israel.
I don't even want to ask what not getting by feels
like. Look at the next half of verse 1 and you'll see.
I don't want to ask.
What does that mean?
When he offended in Baal, he died.
What does Baal mean again?
How did he get over to Baal?
How far a jump is it?
Well, it's all cause and effect. You're trying to, pull the things of Baal into Israel. That was like the next... When you do speak trembling in Israel, you naturally...
You will automatically offend in Baal.
How about this one? From this moment on, you're no longer speaking trembling, but you're offending in Baal, because now you know.
Okay, now watch. Now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images. Molten images are that which affects your emotions. Remember that. Every time molten image is connected, it's talking about your emotional response or lack of response to a situation. Am I communicating?
Amen.
What? What did he say?
I didn't understand the lack of response.
Rex did.
I understood. I got it.
And now they sin more and more and have made the molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. Now these are silver molten images.
Redemption.
So it means that you get your redemption from beating yourself one way or another. Not beating off, beating yourself.
Glad you could.
Yeah.
Trembling.
Beating it off.
Yeah.
You get your identity because you are a spiritual masochist. And therefore you create the silver molten image. And you need to feel bad in order to feel justified. And therefore you must needs believe that the next shoe has to drop. And that God isn't done dealing with you yet. Something bad is about to happen to you.
The rabbis have to get you.
Well, I'm just the personification of the problem. But you really believe God's out to get you. You understand me? They add sin unto sin. What did he say?
He's trying to do it.
He's
not
hearing, bro.
And now they sin more and more and have made the molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. Now we got sincerity. We got sincerity by the balls. Do you realize, you must know by now, that I don't really care about your opinions. You've got to have come to that conclusion by now, right? Do you think God cares any more than I do about your opinions? God cares a whole lot less than I do about your opinions. Because your opinions and your response to stimuli, whether it's emotional, remember, molten is always emotional, it's always trembling, it's always sincere, is always based on your response to making yourself right. In order to make yourself right, in the case of Pam that's just been going on, she has to feel offended. So the silver image, this is an object lesson. You understand you're an object lesson? I told you, you couldn't suffer for yourself. You're only suffering for someone else. If you can ever get that in your mind, then we'll be done with this bullshit.
Somehow there's a root in thinking you've done something right, and then it's been all, I mean...
No, what happens is, you believe down deep inside, the gut level. The predicate of this is God desires truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part, he would make you to know wisdom. Okay, so down deep, right down in your gut, the response is, I'm not worthy. I am not worthy.
Isn't there a situation we could describe that we could deal with?
You want me to talk?
This is a root. This is a root, and it just, I guess that's...
I can't believe you've been here as long as you have. You asked
that. You're so
worthy. That's a root. Okay, now watch. Then you have to create a response to justify that no blood. And the response is sincerity in the person of a silver idol. And that silver idol will always take the form of trembling and offended sincerity. That's just a process that's inexorable. Huh?
That's really weird.
Yeah. This kind of hits me because it probably this.
No, it's just you.
Whenever this was going on, you know, I was thinking, maybe Pam thought we were doing something right, and it. But what when you said that, it was, you know, I thought, well, at first I thought, well, maybe I thought I was doing something right, and this is not an issue. Then it's that deep seated place of where I. Of the blood is not enough, what you're just talking about, and that looks for a place to, you know, some kind of issue to attach yourself to, but it's really deeper than that.
Let's talk about that. Am I doing something right or wrong?
Yeah.
I don't really care. I'm not doing it. I'm doing it by exploding as unto the Lord. I don't care whether anybody thinks it's right or wrong. Now that's the same confidence I have to see in you.
Yeah.
Okay, now watch the next part. The next part is interesting. They make idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. What that means is, let them that lead worship these idols. In other words, it's what Jesus was talking about when he said, they piped, but you know, you didn't dance. They've mourned, but you didn't lament. What that means is they have created the idolatry, and the response to the idolatry has to be manifest in Ephraim in order for them to have meaning to their meaningless lives. You got it?
No.
Who's they? Ephraim?
Yeah.
Has to do this and have it manifest in Ephraim?
But they'll put that on the priest.
Yeah. The priest will always, they will always try to get the priest, the leader of worship, to kiss their calf.
When you said that thing about you have to bring forward that idol of offended innocence or whatever, when you said that, I just saw myself in one of these spots and making this little thing out of silver and putting it in front of me and coming in going, here it is, you know, say it's okay.
And I laughed at you.
Whoa! Yeah. Bizarre.
Can you see this?
Yeah.
Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud. You don't want to be as a morning cloud. A morning cloud, the instant the sun is hot, disappears. Because there's no substance. They shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away quickly, is the implication in the Hebrew. As the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Now watch, in all those examples that he gave, all of them were necessary for life. There had to be the morning cloud, there had to be the dew, there had to be the chaff, and there had to be smoke out of the chimney. Remember what I've told you so often, God is causing, God all things already for his purpose. Every knee is already confessing that he's Lord. You don't see it. They don't see it. We see it. That's our heritage. But your crap has been necessary for this up to this point. As the chaff of the wheat, as the morning cloud, as the dew in the grass, as the smoke in the furnace. But now it's not necessary. How do I know it's not necessary?
How unnecessary is it?
As the morning cloud.
It's so unnecessary.
Now we come to the issue. Yet, in spite of all that, I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Now, from the land of Egypt there means not that he's resident of Egypt, but I am the Lord thy God with you from the time that you've been in Egypt, all through everything you've gone through. I have been there. There is no one but me that has ever been there. And it's all been perfect. You got it? All this is the preamble of what we're going to talk about, so I'll get going here. I did know thee in the wilderness. He just got through saying he knew you in Egypt. Now he knows you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought.
Yeah.
According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Who? Ephraim. Why? Because they continued in their sincerity, which in truth was only exalting themselves.
Just worshiping Baal.
Now, it's seen no longer as trembling sincerity. It's now seen as the worship of Baal. Same thing. Same act. Same stimulus. But now, your sincerity will be seen as the worship of Baal. Why? Because that's where we are. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. You have destroyed yourself. But in me is thine help. I will be thy only king. Where is there any other that may save thee in all thy cities and thy judges of whom thou saidest, give me a king and a prince, or give me king and princes? That's enough. Let's go to Malachi. Understand in agreement.
Yeah.
Now, remember what we studied last in Malachi. Malachi 1. Now the games begin. Ready?
Hit it.
Verse 7. You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now, for most of you, that's all you've done thus far. You understand?
We taught on this last night.
Okay. You understand? You've said the table of the Lord is contemptible because you have continually desired to be in a change of position, a change of circumstances, a change of situations. You have been eating at the table of the Lord in banquet. But you have not been sitting at the table. You've been crawling under it, licking the crumbs as dogs. And you've said the table of the Lord is contemptible because why? Watch. Verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means or your hand. You've done it. You've destroyed yourselves. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now what the hell does that mean? Will he offer... If you offer the blind for sacrifice, isn't that evil? It's against the law. If you offer the lame for sacrifice, isn't that evil? It's against the law. But you have offered yourself as a living sacrifice, not seeing that you are perfect. Therefore, you have then offered an unholy sacrifice to the Father. Am I communicating? You are the perfect sacrifice because you contain the most precious thing in the entire universe, for which the universe was created by him and for him. Nothing that was created wasn't for his pleasure. And now, can you continue to say, poor me? Can you continue to bemoan any circumstance that you're in? If you do, then you are saying that you are offering to God a lame, blind, sick, and detestable sacrifice. And you're saying the table of the Lord is polluted. And now God is taking a broom to that table, and he's kicking out all the dogs from underneath the table. Because the dogs are the whores, the sodomites. You either sit up at that table or you'll be swept out by a whirlwind. Not on the basis of anything you do or think, but on who you contain. Not on the basis of your sincerity. Not on the basis of your feelings. Not on the basis of your soul or body, but on the basis of that spirit which is life and truth and light to all men. Your sincerity from now on, oh, I just want this. Oh, I just want this way to be this way. If that doesn't confront what I've taught you tonight, then you have no ears. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us, this hath been by your means, will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Shut the door of the temple.
For nothing. I don't understand.
Yeah. He won't. Will he regard your persons? Means that all that stuff that you've been worried about is totally irrelevant.
Even all of your great sincere stuff. I want to get down to your sincerity.
Well, just what do you mean by that?
What sincerity?
All right. Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught.
You mean for no reason?
Yeah.
For pay or I mean.
For no reason. I mean the fact is that.
Kindle it for a purpose.
Yeah. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. As long as you believe the table of the Lord is contemptible. Then nothing else that you do has any merit whatsoever. You understand?
Yeah. I don't quite pick up the first two sentences, really.
Well, you have to know about the meaning of shutting the door and kindling the fire. The shutting of the door... Well, I don't want to talk about that. Just
what's he... Is he trying to say that we ought to do it for nothing and we're not, or... Or we can't do it for not.
No, we're saying that he's going to shut the door for no reason.
Do you understand? When you say that there's something wrong with my status, with my position, with not me, I mean
yeah.
you,
yeah.
that you are then saying to God that the table of the Lord is contemptible, that he has shut the door and that he's kindled the fire for nothing.
I'll just get
it. Oh, okay.
You got it?
Yeah. He said not even you would do this for nothing, but
right.
you're saying that I'm doing it.
Right.
Because it's the whole rigmarole of the temple stuff.
Right.
I just seen that if I were God and I had this guy Gary down here and I knew just what he needed to perfect what I wanted to happen in him, bring out revelation. So I create this entire scene that's perfect, and all he does is kick against everything that I give him.
But he does it so sincerely.
Well, he's really a nice guy. He means well.
For from the rising of the sun, even until the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what we are living examples of. Every place incense shall be offered unto my name. Every place it shall be a pure offering, and his name is great among the Gentiles.
The heathen? Are we the heathen?
We're the heathen.
I need you to ask.
But you have profaned it in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted. And the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You got it?
Yes.
Ye said also, behold, what weariness is it. Oh. You have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn. And the lame and the sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord of hosts?
Ooh.
But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Am I communicating?
What's that?
Yeah,
in his flock
of
male.
Christ! The perfect sacrifice!
But instead you...
Instead you believe your own stuff.
That would be the line with mind talk.
Yeah. Oh yeah, mind talk. This is going to be the final end of mind talk. If the combination of usury on Sunday night and this tonight doesn't end mind talk, I don't know what will.
Mind talk is like the interest payment on the
usury. Okay. And now, ye priests, this commandment is for you. Now, we're getting down to the priests. First part was a priest too. I mean, this thing we just got over was. This is not for the. This is for the priests. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart.
Let's lay it to heart.
Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and he was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn away from iniquity. Again, the idea that you would turn away from self-seeking is so mind-blowing. That's every time you see iniquity here, it's Avin. Self-seeking. Self-effort. That you would turn from it. Don't be disturbed, as Psalm 37, don't be disturbed by the evildoer who's prospering in his way. We are about that which is eternal. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth. For he, the priest, is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my way, but have been partial in the law. Communicating? Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our Father? How do we profane the covenant of our Father? You profane the covenant as priests the instant you say someone should do something. You understand? The instant you say someone should do something other than wake up, you have profaned the covenant, you've made the cross of Christ and the death of God of none effect. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off that man, or cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did he not make one? Yet he the residue, yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away or divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? In other words, where is the evidence of his presence? And these self-seekers are doing good.
Is the wife of youth?
Well, it's the that's the typology. The wife of the youth is always the bride,
first
Israel,
first
love.
They've gone and married.
They've married other gods, strange gods, just like you guys do.
Daughter of a foreign god.
Yeah. Okay, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now the idea here is not that he shall just come and visit it. He shall suddenly come and inhabit every nook and cranny, every corner of the temple. You understand? He shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That's why Christ said over and over, judge ye in righteous judgment. There's only one singular righteous judgment. It's finished. Nothing else is righteous. It's impossible. There's only one single thing in judgment. And that is the prince of the world has been judged. There's nothing else in judgment. All right. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. But I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, thank God at this point he's calling you sons of Jacob instead of sons of Israel.
Why?
Well, because I can take the God of Jacob, because Jacob screwed up 10,000 times. But if it's the God of Israel, then I'm in deep shit. You got it?
Does it mean anything that he's been calling them sons of Levi and now he calls them sons of Jacob?
Well, it's to indicate that which Christ and the apostles proclaim later, that all in the kingdom are priests. That's the intent. So it's this. All right. For I, the Lord, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine inheritance, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
Wow.
And for those of you who haven't yet talked about it with your groups, about the asset tithe, the increased tithe, the offering, the first fruit offering, I want you to read about Hezekiah and read about Nehemiah. Read what happened when they came back into, after years and years of disarray in the spiritual kingdom. Read what happened immediately at the point of Hezekiah's Passover. Read what happened in Nehemiah. That should be sufficient. I'm not going to go into Talmudic scholarship on these assets and the tithes and offerings. But read 2 Chronicles.
Is that on that list?
No. Oh, it might be. I don't know. Read 2 Chronicles 31 and read Nehemiah 10. 12 and 13. Okay. Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Now you understand, it's not, we got to break this curse.
Yeah.
The curse manifests itself in our total arena, in our thought processes, in our ways of thinking. I mean, I talked to Bananas last night. You realize that every single way of thinking that you have done from your birth until this point has been illegitimate according to the law of God? Because every bit of your thinking has been based on spiritual usury. Taking great delight in the future. Taking great delight in that which is you're buying on credit. And therefore, nothing ever happens to you. You're just living lives of stupidity and quiet desperation. God doesn't want your plans, He wants your action. God doesn't want your thoughts. He wants your obedience. And the way of breaking the curse, according to Malachi, is tithes and offerings. And every place this is discussed in the scriptures, it's followed by joy unspeakable, wealth beyond dream. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, the word nation here is not, doesn't mean like big country stuff. It means, it's just the word Am, which is people. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove or test. Now is the time to test them. Test me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, then I will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. Hallelujah. This devourer. This, the Antichrist. This, the deceiver that has been whipping you around like you were a cork on the sea. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine caster fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. Every time you have gone through this process of visualization, which modern religion teaches you, which you have cast the seed, the fruit, before the time, and therefore the fruit has been of no value. The good tree brings forth good fruit automatically with no effort, no planning. It does. It acts. I am so sick of sitting around planning. That's why I told Rick. Rick had this great, oh, I think we should do it. Do it! Don't tell me about it! You'll be tested in a thousand ways and thousands of new ways because it takes courage. You have to be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, etc., etc. Remember the theme of Last Tabernacles. Be careful for nothing. And all nations, all people shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. You don't do that anymore. If you don't, at every second of your life, from this moment forward, see that you are the most fortunate person on the face of the earth, you're a fool. Oh, well, all he yells at me. Who gives a shit? Don't consider this stuff lightly. Don't let your emotional idolatry make you consider that seed of God of none effect. Yes. Don't let your sincerity get in the way of life. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Remember back what we read about trembling in Ephraim and Hosea? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. That's what you do in your private closets when you envy. You call the proud happy. If you envy anyone or any situation on the face of the earth, you're a far bigger fool than I ever dreamed you to be. Now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Now we come to the Lord's Shema. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard. And the Lord, and a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now that's all that I've been talking to you about is discernment.
Yeah. That's good.
Malachi's going to be happy about that.
That's good that that's in there.
Yeah, that's the best that's ever sounded.
Let's get Malachi.
After all that rest of that, that's the best that ever sounded right there.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. At the end of reading Malachi, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, you guys can read four at your own time, but we're going to get out of Malachi. Get out of town.
Yeah, I just wondered, how big a fool do you think I am?
Big enough.
I can't believe you asked. You're a bigger fool than you thought. You're pretty angry.
I don't want to be a bigger fool than you.
Take a big guy.